Welcome to Life Community Church. We are a lively, growing church in the heart of Royal Leamington Spa. We trust that this message will encourage you and help you to live a life full of purpose as God intended.
Wonderful. Well, good morning, everybody. Great to see everybody here in the room. And also a big hello to everyone that is watching online as well. Isn't it a blessing seeing our young people minister to us this morning, church? It really is. You guys are doing absolutely phenomenal. You really are. So as you can see, I'm neither a child nor a young person. So I'm not officially part of this kids' takeover. But I will be bringing the message, as Joe just said today, as we're continuing with our series, Hello, Holy Spirit. So if you were here last week, circling back, Pastor Dave kicked us off onto part one, which was phenomenal, a great time of teaching, and then just to see many of us have a first time and a second, third, fourth time filling of the Holy Spirit. How good was that, church? Just to see God moving, and he has so much more. So last week in part one, we looked at the power of Pentecost, and Pastor Dave took us through four key things regarding the baptism of the Spirit, and they all begin with P, to make it a little bit easier and memorable for you. The baptism of the Spirit was a promise fulfilled, a person to help, power for living, and a priority for us all. And today, in part two of our series, we're going to be looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, church, let me give a warning. We could spend 6 months easily journeying the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Today, we are simply going headlines. We're dipping our toe, but hopefully it's going to stir up a hunger for us to deepen and experience our gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, throughout the New Testament, the Apostle Paul refers to spiritual gifts several times. There's four main passages. If you remember 12 and 4, that will help. They're in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and then 1 Peter 4, and Ephesians 4. And for sake of time today, we're just going to be looking at three of those passages very briefly. Theologians debate that in the New Testament, in Paul's writing, there are anywhere between 20 to 27 spiritual gifts. Maybe that's something you could go and research on yourself. But these include spiritual gifts such as administration, giving, leadership, hospitality, healing, service, miracles, mercy, helps, faith, exhortation, evangelist, discernment, prophecy, wisdom, teaching, apostle, and maybe a few others. So you can see it's a varied list of spiritual gifts that the Apostle Paul unpacks. So for today, let us go to our first passage. Please follow it on the screen, or even better, if you have your Bibles, why not turn to it? But let us go to 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Turn to your neighbour and say, uninformed. We're going to circle back there. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So, this passage was written in Greek. The Apostle Paul wrote the New Testament in Greek, and Paul uses the Greek word charismata to describe these spiritual gifts. Turn to your neighbor and say, charismata. There you go. You're speaking a bit of Greek. You can take that home with you and use that over lunch. Now, charismata is the plural word for charis. And charis means gift of grace. So Paul is intentionally describing these spiritual gifts as gifts of grace. That the Spirit is saying, Catherine, here is a gift of grace. Jesse, here is a gift of grace. You see, a gift is not earned. We can't go to college and work our way up for a gift of grace. All the good works in the world aren't going to give you a gift of grace. But the Spirit determines who he's going to distribute these gifts of grace to. And here, Paul has described 9 spiritual gifts. We haven't got time to deep dive today, but he puts them into 3 categories: the revelation gifts, the power gifts, and the utterance gifts. And these are 9 of the gifts that Paul speaks about in the New Testament. What else does Paul say? Let's now dive to our next 12. Who remembers our other book that was a chapter 12? 1 Corinthians, Romans, thank you, Nisha. Now let's jump to Romans 12. We have to move pretty quick this morning. Here's what the apostle continues to teach us. For just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. In essence, what is the Apostle Paul saying there? He's saying, use the gifts. Use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he gives specific examples there, doesn't it? Whatever gift you've been given, use it, use it, use it. That is Paul's encouragement. And one final passage, it's our number 4, 1 Peter 4. We're just going to read verses 10 to 11. Here's else what the Apostle Paul tells us. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So again, Paul, what are you telling us? And here the Apostle Paul is saying, take personal responsibility in being a good steward of the gifts God has given you. We've already just had the reminder in Romans 12, you must use the spiritual gifts God has given you. And here again, Peter is saying, take that responsibility. Be a steward of the gifts God has given you. So, I want to suggest something for you to take away. If you, me, us, are not using our spiritual gifts, are we in fact being selfish? Are we in fact being poor stewards of what God has given us? I would suggest that the answer is yes. Because actually, the gifts God has given you, you are to use them. You are to steward them. And we already know from a parable that Jesus taught, go remind yourself that if we steward even the small amount what we have, what will happen? Come on, speak to me. What will happen if you're a good steward of a small amount? You'll get more. You'll get more, you'll get more, you'll get more. Because here's the big takeaway. A gift is not a gift until you give it away. I could buy Catherine a big whopping box of chocolates, yeah? And I could keep it in my wardrobe and every day go, look at that lovely box of chocolates I've bought Catherine. But until I go to Catherine and say, I have a gift for you, Catherine, and she says, thank you very much, Leanne, just what I've been wanting, until that moment of release, it's not a gift. It's just something in my wardrobe that I like to go and look at and go, look what I've got in my wardrobe. So I want to suggest that actually, the spiritual gifts that God has given you will not become a gift until you give them away. Because here's the thing, we see from Paul's teaching that the gifts have been given to you, but they're not for you. They've been given to you. Some of you have the gift of prophecy. That's been given to you. But that gift of prophecy is not for you. It's for everybody else to benefit from, to be blessed from, to enjoy. The gifts are given to you, but they're not for you. Look at the person next to you and say to them, my gifts are for you. Someone else, my gifts are for you. And now someone else and say, it's not a gift till I give it away. Come on, it really, really is true. So why has the Holy Spirit chosen to distribute these gifts? Because everything's got to come back to a why. Because if you've not got a strong why, forget the what, forget the how. We need to be grounded in a why. And here's the why. You see? Spiritual gifts have been given to the body, have been given to believers, simply so we can get the job done. So we can get the job done. You see, God has got an assignment for you, for your life, for my life. He's got an assignment for us as a local house, and we need these spiritual gifts in operation, flowing, moving, being practiced, so we can get the job done. Because Jesus knew as he was leaving this earth, these disciples, they can't do this alone. They need the filling of the Holy Spirit and they need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, thank God for your intellect. Thank God for your training. Thank God for your experience. But I want to suggest that there's some things that God's calling you to, some things in your life that only the gifts can shift. Only the gifts can break through. Only a flowing of the spiritual gift will have the dynamic power that needs God to burst through into a particular situation. You see, really simply, who's got a toolbox at home? Anyone? Anyone? Oh, look at all these hands. See? Okay. Let's say, Friday, you've changed jobs for the week. You're now a plumber. Okay. Picture Friday as a plumber. I know we're having to really press in hard now. But anyway, let's say Friday turns up for his first plumbing job on Monday morning. Pleased to meet you. Okay, and there's a whole tank and a system that's fallen apart. And Friday turns up and he's like, it's all going to be good. And the clients say, have you got everything you need? Have you got your toolbox? And Friday's like, oh no, I don't bother with the toolbox. I just work light, just got my phone, that's it. No, to get the job done, he'd need his toolbox. And I want you to think of it like this, church, that the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit distributes amongst us, they are like the tools for the body, for the believers to get the job done. Yeah? And I don't know about you, but if someone is offering me a toolbox, I want to take every tool in the box, yeah? And if I don't know how to use the tool, it doesn't matter, because guess what? Someone else next to me, they're going to know how to use that tool, because that's their gift, and that's how the Spirit wants to operate in their lives. So we need the spiritual gifts. We can be banging our head against a brick wall in certain situations. And as soon as the spiritual gifts start to be released, a word of wisdom comes. A prophetic word comes. Someone with the gift of administration says, I'll help. Someone with the gift of mercy shows up. I can put legs on that. Suddenly, we start moving. There's a flow, and there's an ease, and there's a beauty. Let's not struggle, but let's say, Holy Spirit, every gift you've got, I'm up for it. I'm saying thank you. Thank you for the gifts. But what can hold us back from desiring and activating these gifts? Because we all hold back at different times. There's many reasons, but for time, I've just got a few quick ones that I'm going to go through. First of all, it may be ignorance. Not just yet. We'll just go back to that other one. It could be ignorance. We repeated that word, uninformed. Maybe some of us, we don't know much about the spiritual gifts. Well, my encouragement is, take the antidote. What's the antidote? Go study. Go read. Go learn. Go get informed. Dig into the scriptures. Read things from other theologians, teachers, that can help us to break it down. Don't stay ignorant, but get informed. Secondly, fear. We might think, how about if I step out to use a spiritual gift and I get it wrong? Let's say I want to encourage, I want to prophesy over someone, and I've got this impression, but, oh, Jesse, it might not be right. If I say it, and then it's not right, and then Jesse looks at me funny, and then she feels funny, and I feel funny, and we all feel funny, and I don't. And that fear can hold us back. But my encouragement is this. Hey, parents, when your baby is learning to walk, they get up, or they shuffle, and then they start moving, and then they fall over. We don't, as a parent, come over and say, that is naughty, never try that again. Just forget this walking malarkey. I'll push you around all your life. No! What do? We go over, we go, never mind, rub it off. You did amazing. Come on, let's get back on. Let's get the toys out. Let's get the... God's like that with us. He's our Father. He's your Father. He loves you. He's willing you to win. If you make a mistake, it doesn't matter. Just go, oh, well, at least I tried it. At least I did something. Get back up. Brush yourself down. Laugh it off. And next time, go again. What's the worst that can happen? Good question. Ask yourself that often. What's the worst thing that can happen right now if I step out to use that spiritual gift? And usually we're like, it's not bad. The worst that can happen really isn't bad. Thirdly, we can be held back by a lack of faith. It's not for me. God's not going to do anything. I've tried this before. It doesn't work round here. Hey, one of the amazing things about being baptized in the Spirit and receiving that new language, what it does is it starts to saturate you with more faith through your life. Because as you're speaking in that other language, your faith starts rising. Anybody felt, come on now, anybody ever felt as flat as a pancake and you've gone into the room or the bathroom or your car and you've started speaking in tongues? After 5 minutes, are you still feeling as flat as a pancake, or is your faith starting just a touch just to rise? That's faith. That's faith. So I want to encourage those of us that have been filled with the Spirit, speak often, because it increases faith. Get around people that are full of faith. I love Alicia. We had our ladies' retreat a few weeks ago, and I said, oh, I hope it's not going to rain. You know what she said to me? It will not rain. We will pray. And I said, thank you. It was glorious sunshine, wasn't it? Every time around Alicia, faith, faith, faith. God's going to do it. We don't have to worry. It's going to be brilliant. We're going to... Faith. Get around people that have got faith on their tongue. It will push you into using the gifts. And finally, sin. Sin can hold us back. We can feel not good enough. We can feel dirty. We can feel like we've messed up, and that may be the truth. But the good news is, just repent. Just come to Jesus through his cross and say, forgive me. Ask for his repentance. Get it sorted and move on. You haven't got time to waste. We haven't got months to sort stuff out. Repent, get it sorted, and move on, because the time's ticking. Yeah, and we're on a clock to really step into everything God has got for us. So, in our final few moments now, we're going to get really practical, and we're just going to talk quickly about how we can discover and develop these spiritual gifts. Now, it was the great Greek philosopher Socrates who was known for his wise saying, know thyself, know thyself. He would be really well known for saying that. And firstly, I want to suggest that that is a brilliant place to start in discovering and developing your spiritual gifts. Why don't you start intentionally asking God on a regular basis, even a daily basis, Lord, what have you placed within me? What has your Spirit distributed to me? What gifts are in me? And go on a journey of asking God, what gifts have you given me? That's a brilliant starting place. And for some of you that are already operating in your gifts, we're going to talk to you in a moment, especially. Keep asking that question, because we're not done till we get to glory. There's more. There's more in store. So we have to keep asking that question. And when maybe God starts to download things and reveal, write it down. Steward the word. Don't be cheap with the word. Oh, I forgot it. Oh, what did... Write it down and then pray over it. Ask the Lord, help me to know myself and to know more what you've put in me. I also want to encourage us to do this in different seasons of our life. For example, the gift of faith, which is in 1 Corinthians, we've just mentioned it, that gift especially can be given in different seasons of your life. There may be seasons of your life where God is calling to a certain assignment and you need the gift of faith in operation. Yeah? So I'm just saying that because seasons change and so can the spiritual gifts that the Spirit is wanting to distribute in you and through you. Secondly, ask others. Not anybody. People that love you, have your best interest at heart and know you a little bit or pretty well. Ask them, what do you see in me? What spiritual gifts do you see in me? What do I do effortlessly? What do I do without even noticing? Where do you see a grace over my life? Ask them and pay attention. Yes, we need to go on a journey with a spirit of knowing ourselves. But it's wise counsel to ask others, what do you see in me? And then thirdly, learn from others. Okay, so I have the gift of prophecy. I have a long way to go. I'm on a journey of developing. I have a hunger. So I know people that are much further down the road than me in the prophetic. And I love to learn from them. Tell me. And I'll ask them questions and I'll sit and I'll let them talk and I'll soak it in and I'll take it in. I want to grow in my evangelistic gift. So the cert evangelist, how do you do that? How did you come up with that? Because I want to learn. I want to grow. So as the Lord starts to reveal specifically those spiritual gifts, why not learn from others? Let us never be too proud to think it's just me, God, and the Bible. But let us learn from the wonderful community and people that have gone ahead of us, that have gone before us. That can really, really help us. And fourthly, I've already said it a bit, but read, study, research. Come on. Leaders are readers. If you consider yourself a leader of any description, you should be reading. You should be growing. You should be developing. Okay, whether it's a physical book or whether, like me, time is pushed, so I just churn out so many books on Audible because it works for my life. And I can be learning, I can be growing as I'm having to do various things. Okay, children, young people, wave those books at me that you just got 20 minutes ago. Come on, wave them in the air. Where are they? Beautiful, there they are. Okay, listen, make a commitment to read that book. Yeah, turn to your neighbour and say, read that book. Come on, read that book. Okay, why? Because these books are going to help you. I believe that for some of you, these books, you're going to read a sentence in that book or a word and you're going to go, oh, that's me. That's something I think God wants to use. I want to get better. I want to know more. Read that book. Can I say that the books I read when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, they impacted my life so much. So much. Please, young people, all of us, can we be readers? Can we be readers? Can we glean from the experience of so many amazing men and women and they've put it all in the cover of a book? We'll never jump on a plane and meet them. Some of them are dead. Some of them are alive, but we'll never meet them. But we can go on Amazon and buy their book and read their story and be so much better for it. Pray and fast. Some of you who really want to scale up in this, you may want to intentionally have times where you're praying, you're fasting over the spiritual gifts in your life and what God wants to do. And very finally, we have got a spiritual gift assessment. So what that is we can send you, for those of you that are serious, we can send you a link to a spiritual gift assessment, which you need about 40 minutes in quiet to read it. You don't overthink the questions, you answer them quickly. And then at the end, it will then really start to give you some useful headlines of maybe these are the gifts that could potentially be the gifts of the Spirit in you. Everyone who does that questionnaire, we want to meet with you And we want to process that with you a little bit more. Because we're serious about this church. We want each of us to be discovering and operating in our spiritual gifts. Why? To get the job done. Yeah? To get the job done. So if you want to do that spiritual gift, you've got 7 days to contact me. You can get me at the end of the service. You can email me, send me a message, whatever. And we'll get that to you. And let's get you taking intentionally next steps, because there's no accidental saints. So we don't fall into this stuff. We choose to step into this stuff. Okay, very, very quickly, I just want to speak to two groups of people. Again, young people, I want to circle back to you. And I want to say to every child, young person, okay, this stuff is not just for the adults. This stuff is for you. Yeah? Because when you give your life to Jesus and your spirit comes alive to him, the Holy Spirit is already there distributing those gifts. Can I say that I followed Jesus since I was a little girl? The spiritual gifts that are most prominent in my life now, in my 40s, were the gifts that were already visible when I was in primary school and secondary school. Not a lot has changed. Why am I saying that? Because the gifts that are in you now are probably going to be some of the main trajectory of your life. So parents, this is an encouragement. I'm trying to do this with my children as well. Can we just intentionally be observing and be noticing just the call, the gifting, the desires, that the moments when they're joyful, when the light comes on, because that is probably the gifts of the Spirit in operation. It really is. We want to see you go further, faster. Church, do we want to see this generation go further, faster? Yeah? We don't want you to wait till you're 30, 40, 50. We want to see the gifts of the Spirit flowing in you now and in your teens, in your early 20s, that you will go further, faster, because we're helping them, because we're teaching, because we're learning about this stuff. And then just very finally, I want to speak to those of us that have been on the road for a while. Give me a wave if you followed Jesus for more than 10 years. Well done. Well done. Fantastic. More than 20 years. Awesome. Absolutely fantastic. Okay. I am deeply aware that a lot of this is not new. You've heard this before and you've probably heard it articulated even better. But here is my challenge for those of us that have been on the road for a while. How are you progressing in spiritual gifts? Are you still choosing progression or are you choosing passivity? Because we can get used to it. We can say, I've heard this before. Yeah, I think I've, got a little bit of the gift of prophecy. I sort of like the sound of healing. But I've sort of just, I've staggered out for a bit. I'm just by the roadside. I want to say that we need you. We need you. We need your gifts in operation. Some of you have got more experience and maturity in certain gifts of the Spirit. We need you. Maybe some of you need to coach a younger believer. Maybe some of you are very active in the prophetic gift. Well, maybe there's someone that's dipping into the gift of prophecy that you can say, hey, shall we have a coffee? Shall I tell you how I hear God's voice? Shall I tell you some of my big mistakes I've made and how I got over it? Maybe it's time to coach. But also for those of us that have been on the road, how are you progressing? What was the last book you read? The last teaching you sat under that is really going to stir up those gifts? When was the last time you stepped out and used your spiritual gift in a whole new way? Maybe in a way that even scared you. Maybe in a way that you didn't get, because you're like, oh, this is fresh. Oh, I've not... Come on, let's keep progressing. Let's keep growing, because there's more in store. Just imagine, every time we gather church, Sunday, live communities, encounter, in a coffee shop, wherever, let's imagine that every time we gathered, the gifts of the Spirit were flowing. Imagine how electric it would be that one was ministering, another was ministering, another. Imagine how incredible it would be. I want to suggest that maybe that's just how it should be. Maybe that's just how heaven wants it to be. But imagine not sitting on it, not being selfish, not being scared, but saying, come on, the body is ministering and the spiritual gifts are flowing and they are in activation. Time has gone. This last question. That's it. Are you hungry? Jesus often said to someone in need, what do you want? Seems obvious. I want you to heal me, Jesus, Rabbi. Because God's saying, what do you want? Are you hungry? But I know there's many, many hungry people here this morning. Will you stand with me? Will you stand with me? In just a moment, really quick, I'm just going to be inviting us to just get into twos and threes and just very quick prayers to pray for one another, okay, that our hunger will increase and that there would be now a flow, a discovering and a releasing of the spiritual gifts through our life. We're going to do that in a moment. But before we do, we can't just speak about the gifts without speaking about the giver. Because the giver's always more important than the gifts, yeah? And he is the giver. It's our Lord Jesus. And so maybe today you're here and you don't know him. You've never said yes to the giver of these beautiful gifts. Well, I want to tell you that he loves you, that he died on the cross to forgive you of all your wrong things. He rose again. So that means his spirit wants to live and journey with you. So before we pray for one another, I want to give us anyone an opportunity here. If you just want to say to the giver of the gifts, I want to get right with you. I want to be in relationship with you. So if that's you, I'm just going to invite us just to bow our heads, close our eyes. If that's you, you're saying, I want to know this giver. I may have a lot of answers, but I want to know him. I just want to invite you where you are, just to lift your hand to the sky. I'm going to say a short prayer that's going to invite Jesus into your life. So if that's you now, I just invite you to respond to the giver of these wonderful gifts by lifting your hand. Just a few more seconds if there is anyone. Just lift your hand to say, I want to know the giver of the gifts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your presence, that you are the giver. We want to see your face before we ever reach for your hand. We want to keep walking in relationship with you. And so, Father, thank you, Lord, as we minister now to one another, may this be a season that is a marker where the spiritual gifts will be discovered and released in a whole new way in Jesus' name. So right now, church, yeah, just find your two, find your three, just declare over one another a hunger and a release in the spiritual gifts. So feel free to move out your seats, to go find some carpet, just be comfortable where you are.